Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, as we get closer and closer and closer to the college football playoffs. That's right, Diesel. These games on Saturday just become more and more consequential. The consequences continue to pour their way in, and that's where we're going in the very first segment of the show. We did it last week, and we're going to do it again today. There were some consequences. Sorry, Oklahoma, but for some of you teams last weekend for not being able to get it done, and there are going to be some games this weekend, Diesel, that are bearing a lot of weight in terms of these teams, not only their playoff hopes, but their coaches getting fired, etc. Welcome into Wire to Wire. He's Diesel. I'm Cole Bryson on this hump day edition of the show. So good to be with you. The Upset Picks Challenge begins in 1 hour from now. We've got a loaded show. Lou Bezjak of the state newspaper talking high school playoff projections at 3:20.
Playoffs.
We've got the Tolos responding to what Jack Velchery said, Diesel, yesterday. Bill Bender, a lot to get to. But here we go once again. Diesel, these games this Saturday have a lot of consequences because we're to the point now, unfortunately, where if you lose late in the season, ask Miami, the losses later in the year, for whatever reason, whether you like it or not, mean more than a loss early in the year.
Yeah, you just don't have the time to make up for it. If you lose now, especially in a game you're not supposed to lose. If it's a head-to-head matchup with a team that's about where you are in the rankings and you lose, no sweat. It's okay. You're going to be fine. But if you lose to a team that you're not supposed to lose to and you only have three more opportunities against more bad teams because, come on, it's the ACC and Miami is playing a schedule roughly equivalent to that of Burns High School. Mm. No disrespect to Region 2-5A, I'm just saying, you don't have the opportunity to look good against a quality opponent after that. But I want to know, Cole, before the show starts, how did we end up wearing the same color again? Because it happened earlier this week.
At least
we were both wearing white.
It's not the same shade, though.
It's not the same shade of blue, but like mine has got the same shade of yours in it. It's just not all the same color. It's crazy.
You probably do a lot better job coordinating your outfits than I do. I wake
really?
Up.
Have you seen me?
Well, I'm just saying, like this morning I had to go to Asheville, and I'm thinking, oh, it's cold. I'm going to put on some jeans. I walk in the closet. The first shirt that like I see is the one that I normally wear. Like I don't spend much time deciding what to wear. I throw this on. Threw a jacket on, out the door I go this morning. And look, Diesel, you're lucky that I have nice clothes on. I mean, the way that I get up in the morning and get out the door, I mean, you're lucky. It's a polo, it's collared, and Dewey says we look like twins. I think that's...
Thank you, Dewey.
That's a compliment, I guess, right?
Well, maybe. You know, they say that, you know, when you get a dog, people start to look like their dogs. I guess when we spend more time together than I spend with my wife, we start to merge together. Like, yeah. You start growing that that heavy beard, that heavy stubble call.
Oh, I'm going to right Saturday.
Yeah.
No shave November.
Oh, yep. You're doing
yep.
it.
Yep. So
you're
I'm going to do it. You know, I used to have a beard. I shaved it like a few months ago, and I've been rocking the baby face. But I think November, Saturday's the first.
Every day is no shave November for me.
I know, but I shaved, and I liked the baby face. And now, Diesel, I'm going to let it grow out. But I'll tell you the worst is, like, when you are in the day three and it's just so itchy. It's just so itchy. Oh, my God, it's the worst in the world. So once you get through that phase.
You got to push through it. Drink a beer, you'll be fine.
I'm going to start No Shave November on Saturday. I might shave Friday, and that'll be the last time. So we'll see.
Madcraft says, I look like your uncle from Alaska.
Oh, because of the flannel?
Yeah, this flannel.
Yeah?
I guess.
Yeah, I don't wear flannel much. I have some. It could be worse. We could look like Dewey.
Oh God. Do we know? We still don't know what Dewey looks like.
I think we all do. It's just what? We don't want to know.
So all right. Enlighten us with Dewey right there. With Dewey as your witness. What does Dewey look like?
He's short. He's probably 234 pounds.
Wow.
And he's probably balding really bad. I can't make fun of that because I am too, but I think that's where I'd start. I don't know how we got down this road.
So like this?
No, that guy looks more put together than Dewey on the stream.
I mean, he does. He's drinking a beer. There's a broken down Camaro.
But he looks like he has two legs, and he looks more put together.
Legs?
Yeah.
You think Dewey's got one leg?
Maybe. He could.
Dewey's stick?
You never know what kind of things Dewey got into and what kind of consequences they had on him. So speaking of consequences, this is where we go, Diesel. The man, we're in week 10 already. Of college football, believe it or not. Week 10, two games last night, JMU, Cash, Kennesaw State, Cash, both favorites won last night. By the way, can I go down another rabbit hole here before we get into this?
Sure.
I think, I was watching JMU last night, I think I've decided that James Madison has the best color scheme and jerseys in college football.
Really? The gold and the purple, right?
I think it's just clean, man. I love it. I love the logo. I love the purple and the gold, to your point. I want JMU swag now. And I said that last night watching the game, man. I'm thinking these guys have the best color scheme. I know that's an off-season conversation, but don't you love it? I mean, they might be up there.
It's like LSU colors, but it's old gold. You know? It's gold gold. Because everybody else who uses
it is old gold.
Gold is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa says they're black and gold. They're not. They're black and yellow.
Iowa is not gold.
App State says they're black and gold. They're not gold. They're black and yellow.
Yeah, that Pittsburgh flag behind you on the wall over your left shoulder, that's yellow. That's not gold. There's a difference. And I like JMU, man. You're right. It's old gold. I think their color scheme. By the way, they're really good. It's not just like I like their color scheme. Yeah, that looks more like them. That does look more like
JB it. Says he thinks Dewey looks like Chris Farley in Black Sheep.
That does look more like Dewey, no doubt. They might be related. But JMU's, Diesel, they won 52-20 last night. This is a good football team out of the Sun Belt. They're probably going to win the conference since you're a Sun Belt guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. They're really, really good. They're going to have to go through Southern Miss.
Y'all have a conference championship game?
Yeah, they still do.
Okay.
They still do. James Madison, now they let Texas State back into that game. That was a ball game at halftime. I think it was 28-20 when I opened up my scores app.
Mm-hmm.
And then James Madison just poured it on them in the second half. And James Madison is doing a phenomenal job at this point, Cole, getting quality coach after quality coach after quality coach. They've gone through at least three or four straight head coaching hires from their FCS transition to now, where they have hit again and again and again. And those guys didn't necessarily, not all of them, panned out after they left. Looking at you, Mike Houston, over at East Carolina.
Yeah, I hate that.
But Kirk Cignetti is phenomenal at Indiana, and he took most of those guys with him. It is mind-boggling that James Madison was able to lose what they lost.
Yeah.
As far as coaching staff, head coach, and some players to Indiana. And then just regroup with all of it. New head coach, a lot of new players. They hit the ground running. It helps that they have the largest athletic budget in the conference. And they have they have astronomically high student fees to cover some of their football costs. But hey, all that matters is that they're winning on the field. And they're winning on the field.
That's a good school, good program. Texter, Jersey Joe says, Dewey is a combination of Bobby Hill and Homer Simpson. That's funny. That's a good text, Jersey Joe. Diesel, I have the first consequential game this weekend.
Okay.
It's at 9 o'clock on Saturday. It's number 9 Vandy in Austin, Texas at DKR, taking on the number 20th ranked Texas Longhorns. Again, 6-2 Texas, 7-1 Vandy. Both of these teams are 3-1 in the SEC. And I believe, Diesel, that the loser of this game, especially if it's Texas, is going to find themselves in a tough spot. Meaning, I believe this is a very, very, very consequential game. Texas already has 2 losses. If they fall to 6-3, then we're talking about that bubble really expanding, and
yeah,
they might be in trouble, right?
They fall to 6-3, and I don't even think that the aura around Arch Manning can get them back into the conversation. Like, they lose this game. Granted, they still have 2 top 5 opportunities before the season is over, Georgia and Texas A&M.
Yeah, but man.
But there's a chance. I mean, at best, they go 1-2 in those 3 games, and that's including the Vanderbilt game. They're going to beat Arkansas. No problem. But if they lose 2 more games along the way, they're a 4-loss team, and they are so far out of the conversation, they're not even going to finish the season ranked.
That's what I'm getting at. And, you know, we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago about a 3-loss SEC team and where they would find themselves, Diesel, when the season concludes. I just don't know that Texas, at 3-loss, it's going to get the benefit of the doubt. I think a 3-loss Texas team, and to your point, they still have some tough games in there. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for Texas to somehow, some way, rebound. And I think this, not only this game, but you mentioned those other 2. Who were they against for Texas?
Georgia and Texas A&M.
Oh my gosh!
And let me see. I didn't look at that one.
There's just no way they get into the college football playoff, is there? With these 2 losses already?
I don't. I mean, if they lose on Saturday, then they are a 3-loss team, and then they're probably losing 1 more of Georgia and Texas A&M.
100% losing.
Georgia's
one more
on the road.
Yeah.
A&M is at home.
A&M will beat them today. I'm telling you, if they played today, A&M would beat them.
Yeah.
And they lost to Ohio State. And they lost to Florida by 8.
They have to win out. They have to win out. That's their only chance, and they're not winning out.
And then they have the SEC championship game. They could if they were to somehow make, which they're not going to. But I'm saying that, to your point, I think you look at Texas as a team with 2 losses and think, man, every game is their season from this point forward, Diesel. And if they lose Saturday. Or to your point, if they lose 1 more game, Texas's season is done.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it happening. Now, on the flip side, Vanderbilt's only a 1-loss team. But here's where I think this conversation really gets fun. Does Vanderbilt have enough brand power at 2 losses? And granted, we know they still have a few more games to play this season. But if Vandy loses Saturday, Diesel, to Texas, which they could, they'll go to 7-2, 3-2 in conference. Does a Vanderbilt team have enough brand power to rebound and make their way into the college football playoff going into week 11 with 2 losses?
No, I don't think so.
I think this might be the biggest game of the weekend, right?
It could be.
Is there a game that has more on the line than this one?
Now, Vandy gets past Texas. They've got Auburn, Kentucky, and on the road at Tennessee. An in-state matchup.
Ooh.
On the road.
Ooh.
That's going to be a tough one. Let's pretend for a second that Vandy wins this game. And then Auburn, Kentucky, ooh, you can't pencil anything in the SEC, but you can pretty much pencil that one in.
That would be a
five-game win streak with Tennessee coming up. And that's a playoff-bound kind of game.
It is, but the problem with that game is it's just what I said 10 minutes ago. The timing of that game is horrible.
It's tough.
Like, the worst thing you could have to do is play Tennessee the last game of the year, because let's say you do, you're right, they win Saturday against Texas and win those next two against Kentucky and who'd you say the other one was?
Auburn.
They lose to Tennessee, they're still a two-loss team, and the playoff committee is going to look, well, what'd you do recently? Oh, you lost to Tennessee. Vandy could get shafted. I'm sitting here looking.
And that would be tough to watch as a college football fan, given the story of Diego Pavia. This is his last ride.
Yeah,
you would want. Yeah, no, unless he gets another year of eligibility.
I'm just looking at this slate this weekend. I'm looking at this game, thinking, man, I can't find a game on here yet that I think might be more consequential than Vandy, Texas, because we've talked about it on both sides. And Vanderbilt's, I think you look at this game as a must-win, because if you lose to Texas, Diesel, and then you lose to Tennessee and you're a three-loss team, you're not getting in. You're not getting in the college football playoff. And then their one loss was to Alabama, right? They lost that game pretty handily.
Not a bad loss.
Not a bad loss at all, so you don't... You don't count that one against them.
They lost by 16. They lost by two touchdowns.
Did they?
On the road.
Yeah.
That's not a bad loss.
No,
at
it's
Alabama,
not.
It's not
no,
a bad
it,
loss.
It's not. You can't afford much, man. Even though the playoffs expanded, you can't afford much. Next, go ahead.
JB on the stream says, I don't know why Clark Lee's name isn't being thrown around for some of these big-time job openings. JB, the reason for that is Clark Lee is 23 and 34. And only has one complete winning season. He's going to have two at the end of this year. That is extremely commendable, and that's kind of what got James Franklin the Penn State job.
Yeah.
I understand wanting Clark Lee to get a big-time opportunity. I think it's still a year too early, and can he do it with another quarterback that's not named Diego Pavia? He's only done it with Diego Pavia. Once he gets somebody else in there. And I think he's done a tremendous job raising the profile of Vanderbilt. I think he's going to get another good quarterback. And if it's a transfer guy, fine. We don't know who that may be yet. If he can do it one more time, he's going to have basically his pick of the litter next year.
How consequential is this one? Also at noon, Madcraft's Miami Hurricanes, Diesel, are in Dallas taking on SMU. SMU is not a bad team. Now, Miami's favored by 12.5 points on Saturday. It's 6-1 Miami, 5-3 SMU. Here's why I think this game might be consequential. Miami plays in the ACC, right? Newsflash. Everybody knows that, but you drop to 6-2, and you're lost to SMU again. Late in the year, all of a sudden, looks like one of those 2024 blemishes that you had several times last year. Diesel, the ACC is not going to get the benefit of the doubt. That's just that's fact. It's not going to happen. As much as we want it to, somebody from the ACC is going to get shafted. And if Miami loses Saturday, that's going to hurt them. I think this game against SMU could be very consequential.
I think SMU covers, because consider the fact that
it's a lot of
being
points,
a noon Eastern kick, that's an 11 a.m.
Yeah,
Central time
same thing, man.
Kickoff. That's an 11 a.m. kick. Miami has to travel a time zone, and they have to kick off at 11 a.m. a weird time, throws you out of your rhythm when you're on the road. I think there's a real opportunity here for SMU to get the upset. I'm not calling it outright.
I'm not calling it, but I'm not hating it either.
I think SMU covers this spread. They're really good.
I did too. 12.5 is a lot of points at home. I always like a home dog. I just look at Miami and think, man, we made so much fun of you last year because you had too many hiccups, right? Down the stretch, and you just can't have it again, can you? You can't, Diesel. And this team, if they lose to SMU after losing to Louisville, they're in hot water.
Well, they got nobody left. Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, Pitt. You blow all those teams out by 40 points each, nobody cares. Nobody bats an eye. Yawn. Move on.
Yeah, so I look at this one and I think Miami, you better take care of business on the road.
Got to.
Only I really do.
Last opportunity to look good. They win this one, they're going to win out. They're going to be in the college football playoff. But if they lose this one, that makes for a really interesting conversation, especially when, you know, there's only two or three elite teams this year.
I'm going to throw one more at you as we run the break. Just a what if. just a what if here. Since we went with a 12.5 point game, let's keep it 12.5 points. Mm-hmm. What if Saturday night at 7 p.m., South Carolina upsets Ole Miss? A 12.5 point favorite, by the way. Ole Miss would then Diesel be 7-2 on the season. Lane Kiffin needs this one. I know it's just South Carolina, but boy, all of these are super important if you're a one-loss SEC team right now.
Man, there's an opportunity for this to be a run-your-mouth game for Lane Kiffin and for Shane Beamer, but Shane's too nice. Shane's not going to do that, yeah. At least not until after the game. I hope that Lane Kiffin can bait him into it, get him talking over the course of the week, get him angry. That's what Lane Kiffin needs to do. They're not going to lose this game, Cole.
I know.
History is very much on Ole Miss's side. We're going to get into this. I think I've got it slated for the 4:45 segment. When South Carolina plays a tough game against a ranked opponent, close, what do they do the follow-up week? Can they bounce back? Can they use that as a catalyst to win the following week? We'll get into the history of have they or have they not been successful doing that. When we come back, let's keep it at football, but let's move to the high school level and talk to Lou Bezjak of the state newspaper. He's going to talk all things South Carolina high school football, playoff projections, and everything in between. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather.
It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Well, everybody is jockeying for position in the final week of high school football regular season tonight. A lot on the line, or tomorrow night, excuse me. A lot on the line for Burns High School, Cole, as they face
Bowling Springs
Bowling
Friday.
Bowling Springs on Friday. We're going to get to our high school football expert, the man to talk to in the state of South Carolina when it comes to high school football, besides Cole, of course, Lou Bezjak
no,
of
Lou's
the
better
state
than me.
Newspaper. Lou, how many years of this of covering high school football does this make for you? And is it hard to have one stand out as just an exceptional, exciting high school season? And kind of where does this one land in your general memory of covering high school football?
I think this is 25 years, 23 in South Carolina. So yeah, they're all pretty good, and it's good this time of the year, the last week of the season, and just I don't remember a week where so much was on the line as far as last week of the season, and some teams that haven't been here in a while. You look at teams like Indian Land playing Northwestern. Who would have thought that would be so much riding on that one? And you got Irmo Dutch Fork for 2 years in a row, and it's going to be a great week. And just and then Saturday when the brackets come out, kind of looking them over and seeing what kind of playoffs. I think we're going to have a pretty wide open postseason.
And that's why we're having you on, man. You're right. You said it, a very consequential week on Friday, as there are some games tomorrow as well, with Halloween being on Friday. We have a Wren Westside tomorrow night as a region champion. Let me ask you this, man. For those out there listening in the upstate that may not understand the weekend that we're about to see in high school football and just how some of those scenarios could play out, to your point, you look at a game like Dutch Fork Irmo. You also mentioned Indian Land. What jumps off the page to you that really you think could be a deciding factor in terms of how far a certain team could go that we might see it go this way, we might see it go that way, just depending on what happens Friday night?
Yeah, you look at Dutch Fork's Irmo, for instance. Dutch Fork, both teams are going to get a first-round bye, but you look, if Dutch Fork loses and Dorman wins on Friday, Dorman will have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and Dutch Fork would have to go there, assuming Dorman continues to win. Irmo is kind of in a better spot. Win or lose, I think they're the number one overall seed, because even if they finish second, Division II lower state, there's no region champions in that bracket. And Irmo is by far the highest in the RPI. Indian Land, Northwestern, and that's for it. I mean, it's number one. It's for region championship and the number one overall seed in 5A Division II playoffs. I mean, they're 1-2. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. I don't see either of them getting leaped for sure. So those two kind of stand out. We got another one, Camden and AC Flora. That's for second place in 4A. But the second place finishers in all the regions, top two are guaranteed. You know, and then they start seeding by RPI. Then, so you lose that, you lose a chance for a second home playoff game if you lose that game on tomorrow night, because we got a bunch of games on Thursday night here as well.
Lou, is there a team or two, especially here in the upstate, but statewide as well, across all different classifications, that you think has kind of that puncher's chance, a team that has acquitted themselves well, played well when they're punching up a little bit, that pretty much nobody on the tippy tops of these brackets, 1-2, kind of wants to see them come up in their bracket?
We're talking about upstate teams, you said?
Upstate or the entire state.
Yeah, I mean, you look, I think Teal Hanna's kind of in a good spot. I'm kind of curious the Greenwood and 5A. I think they have, they're so athletic in that, and they can make things happen. And the way Dorman, the way they played last week, I mean, that's an impressive showing. And I think they really kind of turned some heads by the shutout win last week as well. In our area, like I said, Irmo Dutch Fork, I think Newberry, I mean, they're right there. They have a chance to have an undefeated regular season. They're in 3A, but they have a chance to make some noise. I think Oceanside's still the favorite in 3A, but I mean, from the upper state, I think Newberry has a chance to maybe get there to play for a state championship.
Lou, when you look at the latest statewide media poll that you can find on thefanupstate.com, for any of those Tolos out there listening that have not had a chance to look at it, Irmo 1, Northwestern 2, Dutch Fork 3, Greenwood, Somerville, James Island, Indian Land, Hanna at 8, Sumter at 9, Dorman at 10. When you look at that top 10 right there in 5A, first of all, man, so many good teams, and still so many good teams on the outside looking in. Of those 10, Which of those do you feel like has a legitimate chance of hoisting the trophy in Class 5A? We know there's two divisions, Division 1 and Division 2, so there will be two 5A state champions. But you've seen a lot of football, obviously more in the Midlands this year, but who do you feel like has a legitimate puncher's chance of bringing it home this year?
I think Dutch Fork, Irmo. I think Dorman has a good chance. I think no one saw kind of James Island. They're going to come out of. I think they have a good chance to come out of the lower James Island, Somerville, coming out of the 5A Division I lower state. Another team that and not in that top 10, Carolina Forest. And Sumter just came in the rankings. I got to see them last week. They played a heck of a game beating Ridgeview, who I thought I still think has a chance to make some noise in the playoffs. But Sumter, kind of a team no one's talking about. They lost early to White Knoll, and I think they have a really good shot the way they run the ball. Their defense is kind of suspect, but they can put up some points, and they did that against Ridgeview on Friday.
Lou, I'm going to ask you kind of a big picture question that's kind of got a lot of different facets to it. With this being the last year of the current alignment and classification, and they're going to look at it at the end of the year and kind of shake some things up a little bit. Number one, do you think every other year is a little too often to realign this thing? And number two, can you kind of just go through the priorities of the South Carolina High School League and what they're looking to accomplish with reclassification? Are they trying to put more power programs with more power programs, or are they trying to make each region relatively equal with a mix of you know, A-tier, B-tier, and C-tier programs?
Yeah, I think maybe every 3 years might be a little bit better to do realignment, but you got some new schools in that coming in, so it's kind of good to, I mean, every two is fine. I think this year you're seeing a shift. Last realignment, you saw it was top heavy, and they decided to split 5A with, you got 54 teams. I think it's going to be the opposite this realignment. I think you're going to see 60, 65, 70 teams, maybe Class A. I think Class A could be split like that, and I think you're going to see smaller classifications up in the bigger ones, and then you could see maybe 40 in the 30s for 3A, 4A, 5A. So I think it's going to be a little bit different, maybe a little bit back to what, I mean, they used to have the Big 16 and then the other group. So I think you're going to see that. And I also think you're going to see, we kind of saw it now with the Division 1, I mean, 5A Division 1, 5A Division 2 teams in, same region, but I mean, and I think you're going to see that now. You're going to have 5A teams and 4A teams in the same region. And I think all classifications will probably go to the RPI as well to decide for the postseason to make things simpler. I think that's going to be more, I mean, we see it in 5A, 4A, and 3A kind of changes the way brackets a little bit too, but I think you're going to see RPI kind of being the decisive thing going forward.
Now, Lou,
that's my opinion.
Yeah, help me out with something. I've heard when it comes to reclassification at the end of the year, I've heard different things in terms of how they reclass, if they go from the top to the bottom, or if they reclass starting at the bottom and work their way to the top. I've heard this conversation a few times in the past few weeks with schools that may be on the fringe of like 5A. Take, for example, like a Gaffney, who is one of the smaller schools in 5A that could be on the fringe of falling to 4A. Does the reclassification and where they start and how they reclass determine and dictate who might could be moved down to 4A? I've also heard that with Northwestern as well.
Yeah, that does, and we look at Irmo too. They're kind of like in the mix. They're in Division II, so they could maybe drop to 4A as well. And then sometimes you could petition if you want to. Some schools they may be classified in 4A. Maybe they want to move to 5A just so they could have play teams closer. That has geography also has things to do with it as far as region placement. And that I think they're, like I said, I think they're going to build from the bottom up, and last time it was the top down. So I think you're going to see more of a Class A, as long as they want to make sure that you can have enough for state championships and stuff other than football, the other sports, you know, because 1A and 2A has, you know, doesn't have a lot of soccer programs, stuff like that, volleyball. So I think they're one of making sure that they have enough to host championships that way. So, like I said, I think you're going to stay about maybe 36, 40 team, like 5A, 4A, At least that's my opinion. It could change. And, I mean, we'll see. Probably get a better pitcher in the next few weeks. And then I think the first thing go out maybe right around Christmas break as far as the classification part. And then they can start breaking things down in the regions from there.
So, Lou, a school that comes up fairly regularly when we talk about, man, they just get a tough draw around here is Wade Hampton. They have to go play a powerhouse schedule week in and week out, and they have struggled over the years to kind of maintain against that kind of schedule. Is that a school that you think could try to petition to drop down into a classification to give them a chance to be successful? Because I don't think anybody wants to see any high school program just be a perennial punching bag that way, like that.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they can drop in. And also, it just depends, too, the multiplier. I mean, where are they getting their students from? A lot of these schools might be smaller as far as the enrollment, but you're getting your kids outside of the classification, outside of your district, I mean. And so, yeah, you want to see that. We have a school down here, Dreher. It's kind of the same way. Most sport, they're kind of competitive in 4A, but if they were dropped down to 3A, they could be a lot more competitive. Oh, Richland Northeast also kind of falls into that predicament as well. Yeah, you hate that. You want to kind of have these teams kind of on a level playing field with, you know, the same amount of students, around the same amount of students. It's not going to be perfect anytime, but, you know.
Lou, to kind of follow up to that, I'm sure there's somebody out there listening today that doesn't understand how the multiplier works, because to Diesel's question about Wade Hampton, you answered by bringing up the multiplier. Can you go into depth on that and how that might hurt a school like Wade Hampton?
Yeah, every school has an attendance zone in your district, and every student that comes outside of your attendance zone counts as 3 students. So if you have, like, if you're a school, I don't know if they have like a magnet program that kids are going there as far as, you know, out of district kids that want to study and as far as academics. And that's kind of what it's there for. And it doesn't take into consideration if these kids are athletes. I mean, that was a thing brought up. Hey, why don't you use the multiplier only if the kids are playing sports, which, I mean, that could possibly be done, but I think that would be kind of tough to judge. But that or decreasing the multiplier maybe to 2 instead of 3, that's also a possibility as well.
Just curious, Lou, I know that we talked about this a lot last year when we were in the high school boys and girls basketball tournaments. What's going on with the venues this year? Is everything squared away the way that it should be and to everybody's liking?
Yeah, football, everything's at SC State for another year, at least one more year. South Carolina was not an option because construction, as soon as the Clemson game's over, they're going to start construction. I don't even know next year. We'll see where they stand with the construction. Basketball, lower state championships will remain in Florence. The upper state is going to be at neutral site of the two teams choosing. I don't know if you have multiple games there. And then the state championships will be back at Colonial Life Arena, I believe, over a three-day span because of the extra classifications. You're going to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So, yeah, everything, they worked hard. I know some of the people were involved to get things back to Colonial Life, and they tried it with Florence, the one site thing, and obviously there was a lot of objection and everything. And we'll see how things go in upstate as far as if you get maybe two or couple games at one site. I don't know how that's all going to work. I think you'll know more towards when the playoffs. I mean, it just depends on what teams can agree on, and they'll have a few days to work things out and get sites and venues. It'll be a little different, but I think the smaller venues and maybe bigger crowds, that way you won't have as much travel. So I think everyone is hoping this works out a little bit better.
Lou, real quick, a couple to throw at you from the text line. RJ says, question for Lou, what are his thoughts on Region 2 5A and how things have played out? And also to tag along with that, Texas from the 803 says, so who does Dorman need to win for Irmo or Dutch Fork? Not really sure the question there. I guess he or she is asking who would Dorman rather win?
If you're a Dorman fan, you want Irmo to beat Dutch Fork.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so that way Dutch Fork will be a 2-seed, and assuming Dorman beats Eastside.
Sure.
Right, Dorman plays
that's
Eastside,
right.
Correct?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
yep.
So if Dorman's the region champ and Dutch Fork is not, I think they will be the higher they have the highest RPI of the region champion. And what was the other one as far as?
RJ was asking your thoughts on how our Region 2 5A is shaking out.
Yeah, what do you think? How do you think it's shaking out for you guys? Is it gone? It's kind of been crazy,
the SEC,
right?
You know?
Yeah. They're just beating up on each other. I think that's going to help these teams going forward. Teams that have tougher regions and played, yeah. I think you're going to be tested in less like games like this weekend. Irmo, Dutch Fork, yeah. They're not going to see each other again in the playoffs, but they might not play a team as good as they're going to play this weekend as well, possibly. So I think it benefits playing in better regions, and I know, that region is awesome, Region 2 5A. So, yeah, it's been fun to see how things have gone there.
Lou, just out of curiosity for myself, because I've never thought to ask this question of Cole, and I don't think I've ever asked you this question either, why do the South Carolina high school leagues not use Clemson as a site for state championships? Is it just because of its location in the far northwest corner of the state, or is it availability or travel, or what's why would they not
it's
use
availability,
that?
Yeah, it's far. They did one. I think since I've been doing this, they've done it twice. And a few years ago, I forget to get the guy's name that had the proposal at one of the meetings. They're trying to make a big deal to get the championships there, make things a little bit bigger deal. I think giving teams travel money, but it's just, I think one of the years, I think Bluffton made the championship and they had to go Bluffton all the way to Clemson. That's a pretty much of a haul. I think it's just more, Orangeburg, Columbia, kind of centrally located. You don't have as many big football stadiums too. Citadel, I guess, but I don't think Citadel is an option. So I think middle of the state's kind of good. And even though COVID year, we had Spring Valley, which has a pretty big stadium. It's just parking's the issue there. They were able to host a state championship game. I remember when Daniel and Camden played in 3A. And Benedict's hosted as well. It's just more neutral site. Clemson would be a fine site. I think it's just, a lot of the teams coming from, if you get a team from like Myrtle Beach or the Low Country coming up, it's just far haul.
And then 2008, Burns-Dorman state championship at Clemson with Marcus Lattimore, with Burns and Dorman rematch for the state championship. So It doesn't happen much. Lou, real quick, one more texter ask, will there be two divisions in 5A next year?
I do not think so. I think if we have two divisions, it's going to be in Class A. I don't think you're going to have a two split like you are. That was the agreement. That's why I think it's going to be a smaller 5A. Like I said, it's 54 this year time. I think maybe 40. You're going to be looking at 40, and it's more of a normal and manageable. You don't need to split if it's like that. That's my opinion. That's what I've understood so far. Things may change, but from my understanding, that's what we're going to see.
Lou, you're the best. Have fun. I'm assuming you're at Irmo Dutch Fork Friday, right?
Correct, and Camden AC Floor on Thursday, yep.
Who wins Irmo Dutch Fork? Probably the biggest game in the state Friday night. Who wins?
It's hard to pick against Tom Knotts, but, I've seen both a couple times. I'm going to go Irmo close.
I like it. Thanks, Lou. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Okay, bye.
Lou Bezjak, the state newspaper. It's going to be a big, big game on Friday, and I think he's right. I think Irmo has a good shot. But, man, lot to unpack from that, Diesel. That was good stuff from
Wealth of knowledge.
Wealth of knowledge he is. We've got to get to the headlines, the Daily Wires. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time to get into the headlines of what's happening. We call them Daily Wires. It's the buzz. The Blue Jays. How about those Blue Jays? Diesel defeated the Dodgers 6-2 on Tuesday night and have tied the World Series at 2 games apiece. Shohei was fantastic. He pitched 6 innings. 6 hits, 4 earned runs. Shane Beamer was more. Did I say Beamer?
You did say Beamer.
Shane Bieber. Was more fantastic. Pitched 5.1, only giving up 4 and 1 run game 5 tonight.
That game was huge for Toronto because it just proves that they can beat them on their home field.
Big man.
With quote-unquote less talent. Obviously, the Blue Jays are an extremely good baseball team, but beating that plethora of talent on the road is massive.
Huge. Game 5 tonight at 8 o'clock. Again, series tied 2-2. Can we somehow, some way, please get a Game 7? I would cry. Now, oh, by the way, Blake Snell on the mound tonight for the Dodgers, Diesel. Trey Yesevich on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. We might be, I think we might have to pull for the Blue Jays tonight. Trey Yesevich is a former Pirate of ECU, the East Carolina Pirate Trey Yesevich, on the mound tonight in the World Series. The New England Patriots traded away 2 former defensive starters Tuesday night, sending defensive end Keon White to the 49ers and safety Kyle Duggar to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sources told ESPN they acquired a 26th sixth-round pick from the Niners. The Upset Picks Challenge begins in literally, what, 9 minutes from right now. Diesel, you ready? You rocking and rolling? You nervous? Mm-hmm. I'm nervous. The regular season of high school football concludes this Friday. Burns, 6-3 on the road at Bowling Springs, who's 4-5. Pregame show on Friday night at 7 p.m. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey sent a memo to the NCAA President Charlie Baker Saturday expressing concerns about a rule change that would allow players to bet on professional sports. Yesterday, Diesel, the NCAA decided to delay that rule change, pushing the effective date from November 1st to November 22nd.
How about that?
So pushing it off.
Greg says, I want it, and Greg gets it.
That's right. I got time for a few more here. Despite multiple high-profile season-ending injuries to Tyreek Hill, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Malik Nabers, and Cam Scatabo, boo, whatever it is, and possibly Mike Evans, fans voted in a Quinnipiac poll in favor. What does that mean?
Well, it's a university that I figured you might know it based on the university. Quinnipiac makes the NCAA tournament fairly often, but it's just a polling company.
Oh, that's weird.
A research poll company.
So they voted in a poll and they're in favor of more games.
Yep.
I've never heard of that school, by the way. They make the NCAA tournament in basketball?
Quinnipiac University is in Connecticut.
What a weird name. Imagine telling somebody you go to Quinnipiac. That sounds weird. Last night, Diesel, the Hornets fell to the Heat. 144-117. Brandon Miller is still out of the lineup. LaMelo Ball led the team with 20 points. Con Knipple had 19.
Con's playing really well for Charlotte.
Last night, the Carolina Hurricanes fell to the visiting Las Vegas Golden Knights 6-3 after giving up 4 third-period goals. And last one for you, President Donald Trump's granddaughter, Kai Trump, is set to make her LPGA Tour debut after receiving a controversial sponsor exemption. The 18-year-old golfer who has committed to play at Miami will compete in the Annika at the Pelican Golf Club from November 13th to 16th. Despite her limited competitive experience, Kai has a significant social media following and is eager to compete against her golfing heroes. How about that?
I've used my position once or twice in radio to get somewhere I probably shouldn't be, and hey, use it, girl. Go out there and perform.
Are we going to see her and Charlie Woods ever paired up together? I think that'd be an interesting duo there.
Do they do a mixed doubles event somewhere? I'm sure somewhere does. Somebody does.
They should. Be interesting.
There you go.
Those are your Daily Wires.
Those are your Daily Wires. Yeah. When we come back, Cole, it is time for you Tolos to get us your upset picks. Who do you like to get that big upset this weekend? Week 10 upset picks coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.